So good afternoon, everyone. This is Sarah Barsky at the State Department of Education. I'm the Chief Talent Officer and have been working over the past 6 months on the Educator Preparation Advisory Council. And I'm joined here in my office by Nancy Pugliese, Bureau Chief for the Bureau of Educator Standards and Preparation, as well as Georgette Nemmer, consultant in the same bureau. I know it's difficult, but we don't have a mechanism this time as we did on the last conference call to see who is participating. So, Barrick, I would like to take the moment or two that it would take us to find out who's on the call.
Absolutely, and I'll include that in our minutes, but
Great.
We want to do intros.
Great. So if we could just, and I know there's no easy way to do this on a conference call webinar, but if we've had a little bit of success with starting with your last name and if it's in the beginning of the alphabet, and then we'll just do the best we can. So if you're on the call and you're an A name, B name, and then we'll proceed from there.
Hi, this is Michael Alfano. I'm the Dean at Central Connecticut State University.
Hi, this is Kathleen Butler, and I'm the Dean of the School of Education at the University of St. Joseph.
And this is Ken DiPietro, Superintendent of Plainfield Public Schools.
Sal Menzo, Superintendent Wallingford.
Lisa McCarthy from CABE.
Okay, this is Jaime Gomez, Interim Dean, School of Education, Professional Studies, Eastern Connecticut State University.
Andrew Lackman, Center for
Program Development at ACES.
So I heard Andrew Lackman, and then I heard ACES. Can the ACES person just say your name again, please?
Sure. Lisa Kasten, ACES.
Thank you.
Danny Thibodeau, Education Connection.
Joan Venditto, Albertus Magnus College.
Larry Schaefer, CAPS.
Joanne Stabler, Charter Oak State College.
Gary Maynard, Connecticut Federation of School Administrators.
Hi, this is Tom DeFranco from University of Connecticut. No, that's not me.
I'm just that with you now.
Rin Tin Tin.
So hearing the silence, is it safe to say that after Tom DeFranco? We are going to proceed then as if that's the case. So, Barrick, you have the controls, correct?
I do indeed, yes.
Okay. So if you're following the agenda, we have four items. We have our EPAC updates, and I will go through those in a moment, followed by Barrick walking us through the CCSSO report and the NTEP, which is the Network to Transform Educator Preparation Grant Overview. That's the formal name of the CCSSO pilot opportunity that we have entered into. Then the NTEP EPAC implementation plan, and then we'll close the call out following questions with us sharing what we envision next steps and hearing your input about this theme. So
here,
I'm going to start, although I'm...
Excuse me. This is Jess House at Western Connecticut State University. I thought you were going to announce some of the other letters of the alphabet, so... And with me is Marianne Rossi, Associate Dean, here with me.
Thank you, Jess.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm going to go through just a quick history. Again, most of the people on the call are well aware of the history that got us to this point, but we're just going to recap that. So as EPAC members and others are aware, over the past year, our benchmarks, in April of 2013, we did bring the six principles for the reform of teacher preparation that were agreed upon through consensus by the EPAC to the State Board of Education for review, and they did approve those six principles. We then, in July, reconvened via a conference call with the goal of looking at the alignment, if you will, between the six principles for reform of teacher prep and the potential reform principles that would guide us in our school leader preparation. We did, through that call and then through a sequence of feedback, we did revise our principles, and we will take the 6 principles for the reform of school leader preparation to the State Board of Education for review and hopeful approval on this Wednesday, October 2nd. In July, we also brought to the board for review and did receive their approval from the board to submit an application to the Council of Chief State School Officers, CCSSO, to be selected as one of 8 to 10 states to pilot the 10 recommendations for the reform of educator preparation as outlined in their task force report, Our Responsibility, Our Promise. And those members of EPAC would remember that and recognize that as we did share the document at EPAC meetings. In late July, following our application submission to CCSSO, we were indeed informed that Connecticut was selected to be one of the pilot states. Instead of 8 to 10, CCSSO did select 6 other states, so there are a total of 7 states, 6 in addition to Connecticut, who were selected to be partners in the pilot with CCSSO and a host of other partners. So those states, you'll see them later, but I'll quickly share them now, are Massachusetts, Louisiana, Georgia, Kentucky, Idaho, and Washington State. So per CCSSO, when we specifically sought feedback, and I will go over later some of the additional selection and very specific selection criteria that we were aware of as we submitted the application, but in follow-up conversation when we were selected, one of the questions that we did ask is, why Connecticut? And CCSSO did share that all 7 of the states that were ultimately selected each demonstrated a clear vision for the reform of educator preparation and the political will to move the work forward in their individual states. In August 27th to 29th, the CCSSO did convene the 7 states in Portland, Oregon, and part of that meeting was to ensure that after they were able to lay out some of the specifics around their vision for the pilot, that indeed the 7 states did have the readiness across various factors to in fact be ready, willing, and able to sign the Memorandum of Understanding, which is due October 1st. So we were convened in Portland, and Barrick and Georgette were both going to talk you through some of those pieces, so I won't go into that detail at this point. With respect to our EPAC work, it's important to note that CCSSO has shared with us and made it clear that while teacher and leader or school leader preparation are absolutely part of the vision, year one, while not at the exclusion of school leader preparation, year one focus will be largely on teacher preparation as opposed to school leader preparation. One of the first things, and you'll hear more about this when we go into some of the work that we've done in the past few weeks since August 27th to 29th, is each state is required to adopt a definition of learner-ready, and this definition will guide both the individual work of each state and the collective state policy actions in executing the recommendations in the report. It is a 2-year grant. Connecticut did receive $100,000 in each of those 2 grant years, and we'll be additionally hoping to provide some state support to enhance that funding. In addition to that, we also, obviously, as a result of partnering with CCSSO and their other partners, what I think we would all agree is critical to our moving forward, and that is the support from some of the partners. So while this is a grant with CSSO, they have engaged a number of partners at the national level that are intended to be in kind, if you will. So in addition to the fiscal support that we receive, we also will receive technical assistance and whatever resources or types of support we identify as the process plays out. Some of the partners, not exhaustive, but some of them are the National Governors Association, the National Association of State Boards of Ed, NASB, Great Teachers and Leaders, which is one of the arms of AIR, AACTE, which the deans will be familiar with, both CAPE and NCATE. So again, those are some but not all of the partners that we potentially have the opportunity to work with and learn from along this two-year grant process. In part of our policy and action development implementation plan, we were required to very clearly articulate and outline milestones and articulate benchmarks along the way. So we were required to lay out an implementation plan that very clearly shows our deliverables at 6 months, at 12 months, at 18 months, and at 24 months. The final piece that I'll share before turning it over to Barrick is that we did bring a state team, which will be the six-member state project steering committee that CCSSO did require that we put together. And that team consisted of myself, Nancy Pugliese, Georgette, Ken DiPietro, Superintendent of Schools in Plainfield, Kathy Butler, representing the deans, and that will continue to be, and Elsa Nunez, President of Eastern Connecticut State University, as well as Vice President of the Board of Regents system. So we were together and representing those various stakeholders at the meeting. Barrick has also had a role and will continue to have a role in assisting us as we move this work forward. In final, in closing my overview and just outlining where we've been and where we expect that we're going, next steps for us is to review with you today, again, the big ideas, and then to agree via a memorandum of understanding that Connecticut is going to accept the pilot status. And then there will be three state convenings, at which time, again, one of the CCSSO's goals is that individually states will make progress toward the recommendations and collectively will be able to realize some impact of cross-state work. So we will be convening and cross-state convenings three times over the course of the year to compare and see where we can assist one another in our collective impact toward the recommendations and goals that are stated in the task force report. I'm going to end there. I think I covered the big ideas and turn it over, I believe, to Barrick.
Yes. Thanks, Sarah. I believe that most people on the call today have read Our Responsibility, Our Promise, which I know is one of the many documents and pieces of research that EPAC looked at. So we're going to put up on the screen the recommendations made in there. In the interest of time, we won't spend a lot of time going through those in detail. The PowerPoint from today's webinar will be posted online, and a link will be sent out. People can go back through that, and we can certainly make the report available as well if anybody does not have a copy of that. But one of the first things that CSDE sat down and when they learned of this grant opportunity was to look at the recommendations in Our Responsibility, Our Promise to see how much they align with the state's vision and the work that EPAC had already done. And there was pretty close alignment across the board. CCSSO put their recommendations into a number of categories, one of which is licensure. And as Sarah will talk later, that's not going to be a focus for Connecticut at this point. But we wanted to put up there what the recommendations were that they made and the alignment with some of the principles that EPAC had delivered. As you'll see, they really are recommending that states reform their licensure requirements to be aligned with college and career readiness and that they be streamlined and made a more efficient system. And a lot of the other things that EPAC had been talking about, shifting much more to an outcome-based system. They did make a lot of recommendations, as you'll see here, four recommendations on program approval that do pretty closely align with what EPAC had already been working on. It's important to note this is just on the program approval, so it goes to the principles 3, 5, and 6 that EPAC had developed and that were adopted by the state board. Finally, they made a series of recommendations around data collection, analysis, and reporting, which was certainly an area that EPAC spent a lot of time talking about in terms of that guiding principle and some of the next ideas to explore and pursue. And you see that indicated with the aligned principles here. And again, we'll get into each of these as we go into what's Connecticut's implementation plan. Wanted to let everybody know that those will be available in the PowerPoint that we'll place online. I think it's really important to understand how impressive it was that Connecticut was selected for this. There were quite a few states that applied. They were very careful in screening those applications. And stepping back from the table, I can tell you I spoke with several other states and with people at CCSSO who were all very impressed with both the work Connecticut did on their application and, more importantly, the work that Connecticut is doing across the board. The feedback I heard was that a lot of other people gave yes or no answers or talked a lot about what they wanted to in the future. And there were a lot of accolades for what Connecticut is already doing in engaging everybody on this call, in EPAC, and in the broader state in the work that they're doing. But, Sarah, if you want to talk through the selection criteria a bit.
Eric, will do. So, Eric, you're going to perfect. So I wanted to address specifically number one, the state's commitment to implement the 10 recommendations as outlined in our responsibility, our promise over the next 2 years. So Barrick mentioned, and I want to reiterate, that we have included in our memorandum of understanding or agreement with CCSSO that while fundamentally we share the vision that CCSSO has outlined in the task force recommendations and in the document, but in each of the areas, we have to honor our stakeholder process, and we have to honor, quite frankly, Connecticut context, the political context, the political will. So we have inserted into the existing MOA language that will signal to them that we basically are entering into the agreement and we are committed to working toward those recommendations. However, we do signal that it may not be possible to meet and fulfill each and every recommendation or proposed action in our implementation plan for our state. And we go on to say that our priority is to focus on those that will fulfill and advance the outcomes of our framework that we've come to consensus on for reforming teacher and school leader prep in Connecticut as developed and supported by the EPAC. So specifically, while we know that they have three buckets of work that both Barrick and I alluded to, licensure slash certification program approval and data, specifically with respect to licensure certification, this has not yet been a focus of Connecticut's EPAC work. And so in our actual draft implementation plan, it will not be a focus of our Connecticut's early work. We don't know yet where it will go with the EPAC's, with the continued stakeholder feedback and engagement, but we wanted to ensure that you understood that we are committed to the 10 recommendations, but we will continue to honor Connecticut's context and process. The second one, the demonstrated readiness of the state to implement the recommendations. As Barrick said, when we were in Portland, we did feel that it was an assessment of readiness across many different indicators, if you will. And I do think we fared well with respect to one that we, I don't know if we're the only state, and Barrick may know that better from a national landscape, but we definitely know that our existing framework for stakeholder input and engagement via the EPAC was one of the unique things that Connecticut brought to the table. Other states had a vision for that, but in hearing that we already had a fully fleshed out advisory council who had met over the course of the past year, I do believe demonstrated our readiness to be ready to implement recommendations as our context sees fit. The third, the demonstrated political will. Again, I think with respect to all of the recommendations, we have to make sure that this, the recommendations and this work over the course of the next 2 years does fit into our Connecticut context and into our political and otherwise. I think we've already spoken to the demonstrated willingness, and quite frankly, we look forward to the opportunity to work with the other six states, both to learn from and with them, as well as for possibilities not to duplicate and replicate work. So if there's opportunity to do things together to realize economies of scale or any other reason why collective work makes sense, we look forward to that, and we certainly demonstrated our willingness, probably most with our contiguous state of Massachusetts, but certainly all of the partners. The commitment of the state agency to devote senior staff time, I do think we did well in the fact that we have myself, Georgia, and Nancy, and hopefully some staff yet to be determined who are able to commit the appropriate amount of time and effort to this so that we ensure that we can move it forward, again, on a rather ambitious timeline. And finally, I think I already spoke to this in our demonstrated readiness, and that is a strategy to ensure stakeholder input and support our fully operational EPAC did serve us well in terms of our readiness, and now we have, we will have in our implementation plan additional areas where we've heard feedback about perhaps missing stakeholders that we will more fully flesh out, and additional strategies that CCSSO was helpful while we convened in Portland to also share their knowledge with us of additional strategies for both communication and for stakeholder engagement. So we look forward to that opportunity, but we do believe that all of these pieces poised us well for being selected, as Barrick said, for what we think was a fairly rigorous process and for Connecticut to be selected.
Thanks, Sarah. So with that, we're going to start talking a little bit more about the actual NTEP and the implementation plan. And you'll see that a lot of the work that Connecticut will be undertaking as part of this grant opportunity and the implementation plan that's being developed really looks like the implementation plan for what EPAC has been developing and, in fact, takes it to another level. The first step, as Sarah mentioned, in all of this work, once Connecticut was selected, was they brought the states together out in Portland. And I thought it would be good if we could ask Georgette and some of the other folks from the team that were out there to give their perspective on those meetings. So, Georgette, if you want to start with that.
Eric, I think it would probably be best if we had Kathy Butler from University of St. Joseph and Ken DiPietro, Superintendent Plainfield, who joined us in Portland, really share their perspectives. I think Sarah has pretty much represented our perspective on the work to date, but I think the other folks on the call would appreciate hearing from Kathy, who has certainly the higher ed perspective, and Ken, who has the school district perspective. So I'm going to turn it over to Kathy first and then Ken. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, this is Kathy. I would say that the work in Portland very much modeled the kind of work that we did at EPAC, looking very carefully at the CCSSO principles and really evaluating where Connecticut stood with those principles, what was already in place, where we saw our next steps happening. So it was a very thoughtful process, and over the course of 2 days between large group and small group opportunities, there really was an in-depth time for us to look at each one of those CCSSO principles and begin to align them with what we had already been doing with EPAC. So I think coming back, we all left with a sense that there really was a lot of work already underway, particularly I think in establishing the attitude toward teacher reform for developing the next generation of teachers who are going to face very different circumstances in a much more diverse world than we have now. I think in higher ed, we in teacher prep have begun to talk about the implications of these ideas for our own programs, and because we've been really engaged in long-term reform, I would say for very deeply for the last 5 years, we see many of these principles already in play in the work that we're doing, but we also see that there's a real need for the individuality of different programs to be able to come forward. So we look at the details and we look at them in terms of outcomes that all programs can address, but not necessarily address in exactly the same way. So those were, I think, over the course of time, things that we talked about through setting up our own recommendations for how to move forward. So with that background, I'll turn it over to Ken.
Good afternoon. What I would say is that, first of all, it was as much symbolic as it was substantive. So to be invited as a K-12 superintendent, it reiterated for me the fact that that CCSSO and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation underwriting it was basically saying that they wanted to see higher ed in the same room with K-12, in the same room with the Department of Education. And I think that's critical. The through line from, the term I use is from aspiring to retiring educators, has got to be consistent. And we saw them talking about the fact that while there are many forms of program accreditation, that it's important for these seven states that they're willing to support to look at the best of what is working and what seems to maybe need to be improved. So the dialogue was most often between us as a team talking about what we needed to do to put a plan together to achieve or to take Connecticut from where it is in concert with the 10 principles. But there was also that opportunity to see what Massachusetts was doing in Idaho and Washington, New Orleans, Louisiana. And what you see is that different states and have moved ahead in an aspect of educator preparation work. And so the knowledge that they're bringing these together to, number one, share and convene two or three times during the year so that we can hear what's happening when we're at least on the same bus going in the same direction has merit. The fact that they would allow us to talk with providers who have different expertise to share with us was, like I said, as much symbolic as substantive. And the fact that we were in the same room talking. I met more so Georgette, and to work with Elsa and to work with Kathy, who, you know, I have great respect, and Sarah and all the rest of us that were there. The fact is that we were working together, learning more about ourselves and what each of us can contribute. So all I can tell you is it was a great start with a very clear focus, still allowing for Connecticut to talk about what it was doing well and part of its vision of where it was going to go. So for me, I'm very encouraged, especially K-12.
Thank you both. Georgette, do you want to talk a bit about the work that CSDE has been doing over the past three, 4 weeks since that gathering in Portland and how this will shape up going forward for EPAC?
Yes, thank you, Barrick. One of the requirements at this point is to prepare and finalize an implementation plan, obviously a grant narrative, and a budget that will go with the memorandum of agreement that the commissioner will sign, as well as a representative of the Board of Regents. We have been working with internally and have met just today with the commissioner on our plans around the work over the next 2 years to prioritize what it is we're going to share out with everyone, but more importantly to set some next steps, which we'll talk about towards the end of this webinar. One of the things that we will absolutely have to do as we convene EPAC together, face-to-face, finally, hopefully, beyond the webinar format, is to decide on the parsing out and the prioritizing of the work, and then specifically forming subgroups, working groups, if you will, to actually lead the work along certain policy requirements and levers. So, for example, we will ask not only EPAC members to decide which policy priority they work on, for example, program approval or the data collection analysis and reporting item, and then, of course, licensure as well as stakeholder engagement. Those are the four areas that we've had to address in our implementation plan. And we'll be sharing those with you and posting them to our website as soon as the final document is signed by the Commissioner and the Board of Regents. And you'll have a better idea of the draft plan. And this is a work in progress, and CCSSO describes it as such, that all of these documents are a work in progress and are subject to change based on the Connecticut context and the leadership of EPAC on the work that we set forth over the next 2 years related to program approval, data collection, analysis, reporting, licensure, and, of course, stakeholder engagement.
So that is really our forward-looking next step that we'll talk about at the end here, but really the work has to be broken up into three or four areas of focus for the next year, and then moving into the second year of the grant, more importantly, moving into operationalizing the EPAC principles in the next 2 years.
Thank you, Georgette. So I know up until this point we've done a lot of talking at the group and presenting. In this next session, we wanted to move through what we've just presented to give everybody the full context so we could get into some discussion about Connecticut's plans going forward, the actual implementation plan. And in these next sections of the webinar, we're breaking this down into the three areas of the CCSSO recommendations of licensure or certification, program approval, and data collection. And for each one, we've got slides that will show you the recommendations from CCSSO's report, Our Responsibility, Our Promise, as well as the full text of the EPAC principle that is aligned with that. Then we're going to show what the mild Connecticut's goal is with respect to each of those areas, and then the milestones that Sarah mentioned, how this will be measured at 6 months, 12 months, 18, and 24. Because, as we mentioned, licensure is not going to be an area of focus, we're going to move fairly quickly through that so we can get into some discussion about the goals and the milestones around program approval and data accountability. But we did want to show that on licensure, there is quite a bit of alignment here. While the CCSSO makes recommendations around revising standards so they're more demanding content around college and career readiness, that we're working towards innovative licensure performance assessments, multi-tiered licensure systems, and systems that are more efficient and looking at reciprocity. And there is some alignment there with what we've all talked about around entry standards and program completion standards in particular. But as Sarah mentioned, licensure not a focus, certainly for the next year. So for right now, the work around this bucket is really just a focus on reviewing and revising based on the EPAC principle. So I would expect that the folks will be reviewing what are some extensive proposals that have been made, changes made over the last 7 years, and looking at that in the context of what Connecticut is doing to act on EPAC's recommendations around program approval, but not a focus during this first year. So if we go into program approval, there were a number of their recommendations that align with what EPAC developed around program effectiveness and accountability, the staffing of support and supportive clinical experiences. And you'll remember we developed two different guiding principles on clinical experience. This is around the staffing and support of it. And then the district program partnerships, which I thought there was some really good conversation on the importance of those. And you see over to the left the CCSSO recommendations. Just to be clear here, the color similarities between those two columns are not intended to say one equals the other. I was just trying to keep this clean in terms of colors. But as you see, CCSSO's recommendations really are around accountability, rigorous programs, the alignment of the preparation standards, and that ongoing loop of feedback, data, and support. So with that, we want to talk a little bit about the goals here. And the long-term goal throughout this two-year grant period is to develop a more rigorous program approval process and regulations to guide the decisions of the state board. And you'll see a lot of this aligns directly with what we talked about and described in the EPAC framework as items for further review or consideration. Specifically, we designed some goals or some milestones to measure our progress towards this at 6 months intervals over the next 2 years. This is the format that they had asked for. We also found, as CSD was working on this, that it was really helpful to think through what all this was going to entail, both from the standpoint of mapping out a plan to reach that goal in 2 years, and I think it was also really helpful for the state to be thinking through what are the resources this is going to mean. I know it's been tight budgets for not just the state, but for everybody on the call, and Georgette, Nancy, and Sarah, balancing 20 different programs. So we wanted to think through what those resources, the resource demand is going to be. But if we look at these goals, I think this is where we'd like to stop and have some conversation. We wanted to be pragmatic about it, and during this first 6 months, focus on a review and identify the recommendations for revisions within program approval processes including how the state approval schedule will be aligned with NCATE and CATE. As well, during that 6 months, clarified that the relationship between state approval mandate and the optional NCATE or CAPE accreditation. Over 12 months, we're looking at moving more towards developing that accountability framework that started to be described in the EPAC framework, and I think this is the next logical step in that, as well as then begin moving towards formal revisions for the program approval regulations. As we look forward into 18 and 24 months, we're going to be moving towards finalizing accountability frameworks and program approval regs, drafting those revised approval regs, coordinating the CSD Office of Legal Affairs, piloting some specific instruments measuring candidate performance. And we've had some conversation about different performance assessments. Some people have talked about EdTPA. There's been differing experiences there. Also, a lot of good conversation while we were all in Portland about the need to make sure that any performance assessment is aligned with the state's expectations and the system that's being put in place right now. And ultimately, at 24 months, moving towards a complete draft of the proposed program approval regs for presentation to the state board and implementing a specific and agreed-upon instrument for measuring candidate performance. At this point, I'd like to pause and ask Sarah, Nancy, or Georgette to weigh in with anything that I may have glossed over there, and then open it up to some discussion here for a few minutes.
I think we're good, Barry.
So at that point, would love to hear everybody's thoughts both on the goal that we expressed as well as the milestones and measures along that 24-month path.
Derek, I think that on behalf of those of us here at the department, we just want to clarify that none of this is carved in stone, that this will be probably very much the discussion that we will have again at the very first meeting of the full EPAC. This is basically our best effort to articulate a plan. That is not to say this is the only plan or the only aspects of the plan, but this will be something we plan on discussing in detail at future EPAC opportunities.
An important point. Questions, feedback on either the specific items listed in the milestones or things that you think that we want to make sure that EPAC discusses or that CSDE takes some additional thinking about?
Hi, this is Tom DeFranco. The question I have is that there are quite a few instruments out there that that look at candidate performance. As part of, I see here at 18 months and 24 months, there's going to be the development of these instruments. Is it necessary to, you know, create new instruments if instruments are out there already, and to what extent are they looking at instruments that are already, you know, reliable and valid and out there already?
I think that's a really good question, and I'll share what I heard from Sarah and Georgette and Nancy and let them weigh in. I think part of that process during that first 12 months is exactly what you're talking about, taking an inventory of existing assessments and doing a crosswalk with those to take a look at alignment with what Connecticut's established framework is. Certainly our language here was not intended to exclude existing instruments.
Okay, just don't want to reinvent the wheel if not necessary to do so. Because there's a lot of energy, you know, that would go around that. And, well, just my 2 cents on that.
This is Ken DePietro. Just a point to make that what you see, though, is at least, in fact, the state is saying up front, in 24 months, the goal, if although not cast in stone, the goal, the vision, is to, in fact, create a system that can look at candidate performance and related training. And what that does is because, you know, the most engaged stakeholder is going to be the universities and those that are educator preparation programs. But right now, from the beginning, the stakeholders are including those people to say, join help, bring your idea support, so that when we get there, everybody already knows. No surprises. This isn't a gotcha. This is really working with everybody to say, how can we make the best programs to ensure learner-ready candidates entering into the workforce in K-12?
This is Kathy, and I think tied into that with the discussion of performance assessment really was the sense that we did not want to simply buy into an existing measure or model simply because it existed if it didn't do efficiently what we were really needing to see designed. So we've looked at through EPAC some established performance assessments who have been underway. And I think our goal was to re-examine those, but to re-examine those as well as bring on board other pieces that were really working well and actually efficiently and effectively demonstrating what we want to see teachers be able to do.
Kathy, hi. This is Tom again. Thank you. The only reason I'm bringing it up is that if we are going to re-examine, you know, existing ones with the idea that maybe we want to create new instruments or, you know, do some sort of hybrid, you know as well as I do that that takes quite a bit of time to, you know, develop the instruments, the reliability and validity, and the time frame that's outlined here won't work if you're going to start with creating new instruments or creating a hybrid instrument. It's just, I think you'd have to move up the timeline to start right away if that's the intent, because it's going to take at least, you know, a year to 2 years before you even get something that you can even say is reliable and valid. So I just want to bring that point up in terms of the timeline if we're going to move towards creating instruments that are new than what's out there already.
Thank you all for the input and thoughts on this. And I think this is exactly why, as Georgette mentioned, there's going to be a definite need to have these active groups, and whether, both in terms of the full EPAC and some specific working groups who are willing to dive in and offer the pushback and do some of the research to make suggestions what should be looked at and what is a reasonable timeline in terms of reviewing them, piloting, and coming to agreement on which instrument to implement ultimately. So I know we've got about 15 minutes left. We want to leave some time for discussion at the end. So the next item that we want to talk about is the recommendations around data collection, analysis, and reporting. And as you'll see, CCSSO made two recommendations here, talking about multiple measures for continuous improvement and developing a state-level structure to guide confidential and secure data collection. A lot of this, again, aligns with what has been talked about at EPAC, how robust of a data system is going to be needed here. I think this is one that we will find will probably have significant cost developing the system. So a real hope that there can be some collaboration with the other participating states and what some states are doing with Race to the Top funds. But going to be a large undertaking here. The long-term goal here is to develop new data collection, analysis, and reporting system to ensure accountability in the system for program approval and reporting performance measures, as well as provide biennial research data on supply and demand. And you'll see that's an area that we're going to get into right away here. When we look at what the collection or milestones are around this, there's a lot of planning and mapping of what needs to be in that system. For the first 6 months, the goal is to complete the draft plan for that data system of accountability performance measures and the institutional reports. And in 12 months, this is one of the big things we do want to see accomplished during the first year, is obtain consensus from EPAC on what that accountability system plan is and present it to the state board. So before we go into wrapping up the conversation with a final discussion, I want to open it up here to thoughts on the both the goal and these 6 and 12-month milestones here, since 6 months is going to come upon us very quickly. Well, I'm sure this is a conversation we will have when EPAC does convene, which I know Georgette and Sarah are going to talk about. And as if you have thoughts on any of the items in this presentation or in the other documents that CSD is going to share out, certainly hope that you'll share those, and I know they'll be taken into account as these documents and CSD's plan to be submitted is finalized. The last area is around stakeholder engagement, and as I think Sarah mentioned early in the conversation, this is one of the areas that really set Connecticut apart from where other states were, in that a lot of other states were talking about what they wanted to do and discussing how they could form something that looked like what Connecticut was already doing. So the goal for Connecticut in the NTEP implementation plan around stakeholder engagement is to maintain the active dialogue that's been out there and making sure that that's a way to solicit input from all of the stakeholders, going back to some of what Ken mentioned we saw in Portland, and that there is strategic collaboration on each bucket of this work, and that through that process and through ongoing meetings and communications, which are expected to expand well beyond the group that has been participating so far, we can get to a point that all of these changes are even stronger and that there's broad support for all of the work going on here. So with that, want to open it up to some discussion overall. So we can take about 5-10 minutes if we can just open it up. If anybody has questions for CSDE or would like to make comments or offer specific suggestions as things move forward with these buckets that we discussed.
Hi, this is Tom DeFranco again. And maybe someone in the state can address this because I'm not clear where we are with a system-wide database that we can mine for data. Can someone there clarify what we currently have available?
Hi, Tom. This is Georgette. I think that's really the point of this data collection work that CCSSO has asked the states to respond to. We do not have one, and that's really what we have to build is really that data system infrastructure. So not only are we going to utilize the bulk of the funds that we're getting from CCSSO to create that data structure, the data reporting system, but also a place to house that and display it and so that institutions and the public can access certain aspects of that data. But to answer your question, we don't have one, what it is you're describing. I know years earlier we were working towards that, and I know UConn was involved to some extent, but we're not there. And that's what this grant will help us do, is to accomplish that goal.
Thank you very much, Georgette. With that in mind, I just want to go back to that second bullet. Do you think it's reasonable to have that in place within 12 months?
No. The system is not going to be in place. It's really the accountability plan itself. Those are two different pieces. There's the accountability system, and then there's the data system itself. They are intertwined to some extent. But first, we have to identify under the EPAC principle 6 what measures of accountability the educator prep institutions will be held to, what we're going to be publicly reporting in the institutional reports, commissioning a supply and demand study that will inform some of this. There are many aspects of this. This is a huge, huge undertaking. And so first we are setting the goal for 12 months to have a solid plan on developing it. In the background, we are also going to be bringing in experts through the CCSSO National Partners, as well as we have intention of partnering with Tom Kane and Harvard Strategic Data Group to assist us in developing this system. They're already partnering with Massachusetts, so we hope that Tom Kane's group, Strategic Data Group, will also help us in developing this not only the data system, but the accountability system itself as well.
All right, thank you. So a lot of that work then should go in coordination with the instruments that you hopefully will develop.
Yes, it would have to, yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sarah, do you want to start the conversation about the next steps, starting with the next step for the EPAC School Leader Framework?
I will. Thank you. So with respect to next steps for both the CSCE, EPAC, and our NTEP work, as I stated at the outset of the call, the next step is really to bring our six principles for school leader preparation and transformation to the State Board on Wednesday of this week. So we expect to review and hope to receive their approval, and that will bring in line our teacher preparation principles with our school leader preparation principles. Following that, with respect to EPAC and the next steps for the group, we have received some notification as a result of our messaging about this conference call that there have been some changes at respective institutions and other agencies and organizations represented on the EPAC. So we will be working with the commissioner and others over the next, hopefully short time, to look at how we fill those vacancies so that those voices are at the table. We also, when we do that, we have had some stakeholder feedback as well as some conversation in Portland with respect to are there any missing perspectives from the original EPAC. Most specifically, we've heard about a teacher representative. While we recognize and appreciate that we have both unions and are fully informed by that, there has been some input to us that there is not a teacher voice on the EPAC. And we also talked, I believe, in Portland about pre-service candidates, so students of another ilk, students in pre-service, who may be valuable perspective as this work moves forward. And the final may be, while we recognize, Gary, your work in representing, again, the voice of principals through the State Administrators Union, there may be value to bringing a principal on board. So those are not decisions at this point, but those are conversations that we either heard through EPAC last year and or discussed as a state team while we were in Portland and moving this NTEP work specifically forward. With respect to fully convening the EPAC, it's been some time since we convened as a full group, and at the end of the year, we did recognize that the full EPAC had gotten us as far as getting our high-level principles, but the structure may not get us where we need to go with respect to now rolling up our sleeves and getting the work done that's outlined in our milestones in our plan. So what we do expect, and we're open to your feedback and thoughts about this, but we do expect that once we get our MOA signed and approved, et cetera, from CCSSO, that we would likely reconvene the EPAC as a full EPAC in December, by and large, to provide any additional updates and then to begin to look at the structures for subgroups where we can break the group apart, if you will, whether by EPAC representatives or perhaps, and this is a point for discussion, we have had a conversation, again, both at EPAC and in Portland about whether the EPAC membership are the right people to do the next level of work, or there may be extensions of those folks at their respective universities, colleges, organizations, agencies that are better poised to be at the work group level. So those are all conversations that we expect to continue to have and then bring back to the December meeting so that we can begin to break up into sub-work groups for the next steps. Finally, with respect to CCSSO and NTEP specifically, as we shared, we have yet to finalize but will be finalizing our memorandum of agreement with CCSSO that articulates our draft of our thinking, our best thinking at this point. As Georgette, Barrick, and I think I have as well mentioned previously, this is a dynamic document. It is not carved in stone and will continue to be informed by our stakeholder work and specifically through EPAC and other stakeholders. So we will submit what is best plan as of this moment in time.
The future meetings I referenced, we will have three convenings with our six other partner states or pilot states convened by CCSSO and as well with the partners that we mentioned. And I think I just mentioned that the partner resources that we can tap, and we're open to people's ideas and thoughts on that with respect to how best we tap those partners that the CCSSO has brought into partnership for the NTEP so that we can get technical assistance and other support beyond the fiscal support being provided by CCSSO. I think that covers it, and then I turn it over to Nancy and Georgia if they have anything to add, or Barrick, anything I missed in terms of our next steps. One last piece that it's really not a next step that we articulated, but it just came to mind, is we also just recently, as I mentioned, there are opportunities for collective impact when we work with our cross-state convenings. And we also are looking to possibly work with our neighbor state, Massachusetts, since we have the opportunity with them being another pilot state. So I wanted to mention that we did have the opportunity last week to meet with the commissioner and just talk about, again, with the goal of not duplicating and replicating efforts, but always keeping the in-state context in mind, there may be opportunities for that as well. So that's yet to be known where that might go, but wanted to make sure that people knew that we do have a contiguous state that that may be of use as we continue this work.
I have nothing to add to that. Georgette or Nancy?
Hey.
Well, I know we're just about at time, so I want to thank everybody for joining us on a Monday afternoon. We will make both this presentation deck as well as an audio recording of the call. If you have colleagues on EPAC who couldn't join us, we'll get those posted online over the next 24 to 48 hours. And I know Sarah will be in touch with everybody as far as plans for that December meeting that she mentioned and next steps in creating some of these groups. So I just want to thank everybody for your ongoing support of CSEE and taking time out of what we know are very busy schedules in your jobs already for contributing to EPAC and to CSDE's work. And with that, I'll give everybody the last few minutes back of your day, and thank you again for your time.
Sarah, can we just, this is Sarah, just in closing, again, just a thank you to those of you who made the time to be on the call today. We appreciate your feedback both today, and if you have not thought of something to share today, you know that you can reach us at any time at the department by phone, by email. So this is a one-shot opportunity today. Also, if there were, we heard a few beep-ons. Barrick, I did get at least one email that someone was unable to access for whatever reason, so we will be making it available, I did hear. We can let the others go with our thanks again for your participation today. And if you would like to identify yourself and join late, if you choose to stay on and just let us know, we'd appreciate it. And if not, we just say thank you again, and we will be in touch as this work progresses.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 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 Thank you.